Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show. To one, thank you for downloading this episode. It's a really funny one. And also to let you know of tickets which are on sale right now. So if you're in Brisbane, March 16 at Haya Bar, 3 p.m, there is only a few tickets left. So make sure you head on over to joshuel.com.au/gigs. Get your tickets. You see the podcast with Melinda Buttle, Becky Lucas, Cameron James, and Guy Montgomery, plus the first official Josh L. Talks performance, so that'll be fun, my stand-up show. And then if you're in Melbourne, it's all kicking off. Some nice big news right now. So I am doing not four podcasts, as I said I was. I'm actually going to be doing five podcasts. That's right, the Festival Club, the Melbourne Comedy Festival Festival Club, have asked me back to do a show April 9, 11 p.m. So tickets are from the Comedy Festival website or joshuel.com.au/gigs, that website. Tickets for that one are only $15, so head on over, get a bunch of tickets. It's in a huge venue, so Max Watts House of Music, so make sure you head along there. It's going to be great. I can't announce the lineup, but I can tell you the Comedy Festival will help me out with some big-name international guests. So it'll be lots of fun. Plus, all the shows at the European Beer Cafe, 3 p.m. on Sundays in the festival. So March 31, April 7, 14, and 21 are on sale now. They are selling very well. So thank you for everyone who's been buying the season passes. And another thing on sale is Josh Earl Talks. Yes, I keep talking about it because I want you to come. So Josh L. Talks is my brand new stand-up hour. So first time ever for me doing a whole hour of just stand-up. A whole bunch of crazy stories which I haven't told on the podcast before. So if you buy a ticket in the first weekend, so March 28, 29, 30 and 31, you'll get a free ticket to any of the European Beer Cafe podcasts. So one free ticket. So even if you've got a season pass and you go, oh, maybe I'll buy a ticket in the opening weekend and I can bring a mate along to one of them, that'd be cool. Tickets on that opening weekend are the cheapest you can get them. They are $22. So that is super cheap for the Comedy Festival. So head on over to either thecomedyfestival.com.au or joshuel.com.au/gigs. Get a bunch of tickets. You probably hear it right now. I'm a bit sick. Got a bit of a cold. That won't stop me from plugging my shows. So, hey, thanks everyone who's been downloading. Thanks everyone who's been subscribing to the Patreon. A new episode will be coming out very soon, a bonus episode for you guys, and new writing every single Friday. If you want to help out the podcast, but you can't afford any money to join the Patreon, give us a review on iTunes or just spread the podcast around, share it on Facebook, post about it on Instagram, retweet it on Twitter. All those things really helps me out. Hopefully I see you at one of the shows in either Brisbane or Melbourne. And that is all from me. Enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a man in England whose Facebook page for the last month, every status update has just been, is anyone seeing this EastEnders shit? Tomorrow's going to be bonkers, and variations of that. For a month, that's all he's been doing.
Finger on the pulse.
You've got to have a passion.
Yeah, and he's EastEnders.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do is I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is a writer, a broadcaster, and one of the hosts of the Sweetest Plum podcast. On Google, his related searches are Declan Faye Marvel and Declan Faye Death. Mm-hmm. Can you please welcome us, Declan Faye? Yeah.
Yay.
I'm not sure what the death one is, but do you know what the Marvel one is?
No, is there someone who works at Marvel who...
No,
also...
there is a very successful comic book writer who lives in Melbourne, who lives, I think, in Rosanna. If not in Rosanna, very close to that area, called Tom Taylor. And I met him briefly on something I was working on. And I've been told that if he likes you, he puts you into his magazine as a random his comic.
Yep.
As a random person who is killed.
Oh.
And he's written for Justice, Injustice, the big one, one of the big ones. He's written for Superman. And I found out that he put me in as a character that got, I don't know if I got killed, but I got beaten and interrogated.
Well, maybe that would explain the death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't join that dot.
At least we've solved that early.
Yeah. Also joining us is the other half of the Sweetest Plum podcast. He shares his name with the ex-Collingwood captain, the technology teacher at Gisborne Secondary College, and a data scientist at Facebook in Seattle. Can you please welcome us, Nick Maxwell?
Oh, I'm humbled with such company. I actually go by Nicholas, so let's keep it formal, Josh.
Nicholas?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To avoid the Collingwood captain reference, you know, in around sporting clubs, you know, it gets thrown up a lot. So I just go by Nicholas until they start calling me the ex-Collingwood captain instead.
It must be horrible to share your name with someone famous around a sporting club. Which brings us to our next person. Here's a comedian and host of the Junk Time podcast. He shares his name with a Perth sales manager for BP and the inspection manager for Solar City in Dallas. Can you please welcome back to the podcast, it's Michael Chamberlain.
Yay. See, I thought you'd go the full hog, man, because there's Michael Chamberlain of the Azaria Chamberlain fame. It's, it is spelt differently.
We've said that in a previous podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I try and always find different people.
Yeah, sure. Can I update? First off, Nick, I saw the Collingwood Nick Maxwell today, actually. So I've got my second helping of Nick Maxwell today. I saw him walking down the street. But also, so I did comedy. I did a few stand-up gigs in Berlin about 16, 18 months ago, right? Got a lot going on, guys. And I went over to London for my brother's wedding, went to Berlin, and I had nothing to do at night. I didn't know anyone. So I was like, oh, I'll go to and do gigs. Like, it would be kind of, you meet people, and, you know, it was fun. There was an English bloke who got up on the stage, who was emceeing, and he said, oh, we've got an Australian coming on now, and he did a whole bunch of, oh, dingo style my baby kind of jokes. Little did he know, he had Michael Chamberlain about to walk on stage from that whole thing. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, he had no idea. But I'm like, dude, you had so much to work with.
Yeah. Did you
so
much to work on stage? With.
Sorry?
Did you call him on it on stage?
No, he had no idea as well. Yeah. I was like, I thought that would take the audience out, being like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, about 35 years ago, there was a rather gruesome death of a baby. No, stick with me. It's funny.
If there was only something in German history that we could talk about that would also be like a bad memory for those guys as well. If only there was anything. Anyway. And finally, our final guest is comedian and host of the Worst First Dates podcast. Plus, last time she was on, we discovered that she was the queen of remedial English. Can you please welcome Kelly Kostuka?
That's true.
For those who know Kelly, last time, like she told us that when she was at uni, her lecturer told her that she might need to take an ESL course.
Oh. Not knowing that English was my first language.
Yeah, just thought Kelly Fostuca. Oh, she's Italian.
She can't speak English. And I'm like, no, I just never spoke up because I never did the readings. And then, anyway.
Okay, our first game tonight is called Social Me Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. Now, we've just established that not everyone in the room is on Twitter or Facebook. Nick, you're not on those things. But I did find something which is your voice, because the Sweetest Plum has some big fans who have done a Sweetest Plum Quotes Twitter page.
So these are real
fans. Quotes.
Declan hasn't done this.
It's not me. No. I promise you. People think it's me, but it's. I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to.
Well, just for you, Josh, I'm predicting these quotes will be slanderous. So,
well,
you know,
you can defend them if you want. So what you do is...
Hang on, your quotes are going to be slanderous about yourself?
No,
is that what
about someone else.
Oh, okay.
And then he's going to say them, and then I don't know. I don't want him to be embroiled in
Well, I've made this joke before, but it's very true. My partner is a lawyer, and I have played.
Congratulations.
Oh, Jesus. All right. We've got stuff going on.
She's a social justice lawyer, okay?
Double congratulations.
But I have a few times played her the podcast to check if we're in a defamatory territory, as I'm sure Kelly...
Jesus.
In fact, all of us with podcasts, I'm sure you've all been in this.
I'm sure you've all got partners who are social justice lawyers and you play them the podcast.
Yeah, by my lawyers, my cousin, my uncle, my mum, my dad, all the lawyers in the family.
Nah.
But you do occasionally go, is this defamatory? And there was a particular one of Nick's that he said, I actually can't remember what it was, but I said... is this defamatory? And we need to listen to it. And she said, to the letter of the law, this is absolutely defamatory. What you've said, it's knowledge that you have about the person that you're putting into the public domain. And she said, except to prove defamation, they have to prove that there's been significant reputational damage. And she said, going by your audience numbers, they couldn't prove significant reputational damage, so I think you'd be okay.
Take that, yeah. Everyone.
Yeah.
That was a great, great day for us.
Yeah.
What a win.
Real win-win.
So okay. If I don't mention names, I'm okay.
If the name of the person you're slandering, you're fine. A dead person is fine, and a company is fine. If it's an alive person and you have knowledge and it is some sort of significant reputation.
Oh, people get like blasted on our show, and I never use names. We have codes.
Oh, you're fine.
What about family members? That's where I struggle.
Yeah, you can defame a family member, it's like, will they sue you? Like, because they've got to
learn how to download a podcast first.
Yeah. Oh, well, Josh, you come from Tasmania, so okay. They all have two heads.
Make a code. Yeah, if we're gonna defame anyone, let's call them Lawyer X. Okay, it's just Lawyer X.
Okay, so I'll read out a status update. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz in for ones that are your ones. You get a point if you get it right. If you get it wrong, the person who actually wrote the tweet, they get the point. So here we go. First one is this one. Man, I'd love to fuck that big cow.
Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
Declan.
No, that was Michael Chamberlain. Damn! There for Michael, yes.
Son of a dingbat.
It was a sweet tweet, that one.
It was a good tweet. I retweeted it at the time.
I think it's part of a trilogy, actually. In fact, Josh, if I'm not ruining anything.
Don't use the cow's real name.
No. But there was a story of... I don't think you're going to ruin anything. Yeah, you can talk about
it. Oh, yeah, there was a big cow. You know the big cow? Big cow? You love the big cow. It was like a cow that's like 6 foot tall. Yeah. And I just thought it'd be fun to fuck it. And then eventually... I decided to fuck it, and then I fucked it. It was fantastic.
Oh, you did?
All in Twitter form. Yeah. Got a lot of pat on the backs for that.
Okay.
I didn't know the big cow story, but there is, I was doing something in the country, and in a country town called Birchip, their giant thing is a fiberglass cow, and it was made by uni students that had some connection to the town and understood industrial design. But they made a giant ball sack on the cow. Do you know about this?
No, but in Rockhampton, they've got like cows, or like statue of cows all over the place, and the ball sacks all have metal rods going through them because people would just try and steal the ball sacks.
Yeah.
So there's just the cow with like, and it just makes it so that's the first thing you look at. Mm. Oh, well, Big Merino's got a huge set of balls too.
Right, so I didn't know that. I didn't know this. But so the woman told me that there was like council meetings going, do we get rid of the cow? They'd spend a lot of money on. Do we remove the ball sack and have a ball-less cow? And there was huge arguments amongst the council.
It would have been a bull then, not a cow.
You're correct, it's a bull. Isn't the bull a big cow?
Isn't the bull a male?
And bull is a male cow, I think.
There you go.
Oh my God, what did I fuck?
Michael's not married to a social justice lawyer, by the way.
All right, question two. Is there any chance that old CDs will somehow become like old vinyl, and I'm sitting on a potential gold mine of old Pearl Jam and Wu-Tang CDs in my garage?
Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
Has to be Declan.
That is Declan, yes. Point there for Kelly.
How did you looked at the saddest member. You went, which guy is still living in the 90s?
Who has Wu-Tang on their face? It's you.
Yeah. I nearly wore a Wu-Tang hat here. And Juanita, my partner, Lawyer X, said you're not going to wear that out of the hat.
You had the Deal of Soul t-shirt on, so I kind of...
You can't cross-pollinate your hip-hop, so I couldn't wear the hat. But I do. I just moved house, and we had stuff in storage, and there is genuinely about 8 boxes of CDs. I can throw lots of stuff out. But the CDs is a very hard one because it's all stuff you got when you were 14. Where are yours? What do you do with them?
In boxes in the garage. Yeah.
I don't want to throw that stuff away. Like VHS, I have so many VHS tapes still at my parents' house. Because you know records now?
What's on your VHS tapes? What was Kelly taping in the 90s?
The Late Show.
The Late Show?
The Late Show. I've got tapes of the Late Show.
I was going to say, was it Melrose Place?
No. The Late Show, but I also found an old tape from an acting class that I did from, I think, 2005. And we don't have a VCR to watch it, but I'm dying to see the terribleness on that one.
Would I be right that vinyls hold their quality much better?
They do if they haven't scratched.
Yeah, like so your VHS kind of wear thin and kind of become a bit defunct, but a vinyl is actually worth something because it doesn't get wasted away.
Yeah.
Pretty much, but I don't know what to do. It is It, these boxes are just sort of stacked up. It makes me like, it gives me a melancholy every time I see it.
Do you have a CD player?
Good question. Yes, we do. We've got a five stacker CD player.
Awesome. Oh,
congratulations.
In the car.
I used to have one in my...
Sweet lawyer money.
In,
my...
in the car? Well, you got to put it like the CDs in the back trunk?
I used to have one in my Ford Laser. It was under the passenger seat.
Sick.
And every time you tried to change it while driving, it was a potential crash because you're leaning
It wasn't
down
one of those and... ones which you would take off the front so no one stole it.
The fake front of the CD player.
You just take that off so if someone broke into your car, they couldn't steal your CD player.
They go, they don't have one.
Yeah.
Keep going. Move on to the next one.
With the club lock. You don't see the club lock on steering wheels anymore.
That's a really good point.
That's Is that because there isn't anything to steal out of the
car? Well, I think people just realise they don't work, those things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure
The club
either.
Lock was always more effective as a sort of a weapon.
Yeah.
Then, you say that with this air of nostalgia. Yeah. Well, of course, the club lock.
I leave my car unlocked. I want someone to steal it. Give me the insurance money. Yeah, I'm desperate.
I'm the same. Question three. I really think Tamazepan sounds like the name of a girl from the Central Coast.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
It has to be Kelly.
No, that is Nick. That's a point there for Nick.
I did actually remember that.
There you go.
So I knew not to buzz in. I buzzed in for all the other ones. I was just late.
I remember you saying that, and that was your aversion to... I had suggested to you, look, if you're having trouble sleeping, why not take Tamazepan? And it wasn't because of any of the side effects. It was because it sounded like you were going to ingest a girl from the Central Coast.
Well, which I haven't done. so you're right, I should have taken you up on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's just the... is that a Heath Ledger? I always think of Heath Ledger.
He's still Knox, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what he...
All the Azzas and the Pans.
Still Knox is also the one that there was a big problem.
I know that. Still Knox was your old mate, Grant, G. Hackett.
Yeah, Grant Hackett.
G. Hackett just going to town on a baby grand in the apartment after a touch of the Still Knox.
Because the swimmers apparently, because they couldn't drink or do drugs, they would take the sleeping tablets and try and stay awake for as long as they could.
Well, I think that's where that it was, went.
Yeah. Oh, because that's their drug.
That was their drug, yeah. Right. So they'd feel like they would high.
You go a bit wacky when you hold on too long.
Yeah.
Well, I think what it is...
And then just nail it in the pool the next day.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad that I know this, but Still Knox has no... There's not a like drowsy hangover. So a lot of creatives and high-functioning people take it because you can wake up wide awake the next morning. Hence, athletes do it before their events because if they're nervy and can't sleep. But where it morphed into is they all had access to it because of team doctors. And then after their events, they'd do Still Knox parties, which is apparently a bit of a trend on YouTube.
Yeah, shit, man. Fucking yeah.
I'm going to fall right asleep,
Still
mate.
Still Knox party, man. Yeah. Oh, shit, we're going to stay awake till 3.
But I think what was happening was it, like someone like Grant Hackett, I think it's... Well, this is where we do move into sort of lawyer X territory.
Oh, shit, get lawyer X in the room.
I think it became...
3888.
I think it became a very easy sort of after-the-fact excuse for people that may have been, not necessarily Grant Hackett, but other people were doing more intensive drugs. It was easy to go, I had a bad reaction to Still Knox. And as, you know, Still Knox doesn't make you lose your kids in Crown Casino and demolish a baby grand piano with your bare hands.
And then just jump on the plane and start grabbing the nipples of the guy in front of you.
was that a Grant Hackett?
Yeah, that was awesome. I think.
Well, that's the Still Knox talking.
Yeah, yeah. <All right. laughs>
Sorry, buddy. We're in business, aren't we? Well, you're fine with that.
Wasn't he also walking around Crown Casino?
In a towel?
Yeah.
Or a nappy?
Or his underwear? Was it his underwear?
Yes, I feel like wrapped around a sheet, but I think he felt that his children were not in the room and then went looking for them, and I think they were still in the room. But, yeah, it was an unfortunate turn of events.
Imagine he got...
Unfortunate turn of events, but amazing that he could fashion a sheet into a nappy in that state.
Found them.
Congratulations.
Imagine he had walked into the mahogany room and both his like toddlers are there.
So you got to put a bow tie on, please.
Or at least that gold medal.
They're like both 80 Gs up on the mahogany table.
All right, question four. Remember, it's not compulsory to vote. It's only compulsory to have your name ticked off the roll. Every Year 9 debate you did was a lie.
Declan?
Yes, Declan.
It's got to be Michael Chamberlain.
You are correct. Yes,
that's a good informative tweet. Yeah. Good informative tweet,
it's,
I think.
It's got your sort of cantankerous tone.
It's got my dad. A bit of my dad about that.
But also, you do, it's very similar to me, you do relate a lot of things back to high school. You sort of live in a perpetual state of arrested development.
What that is... That's not just Michael. You understand? That's like everyone in this room.
Yeah, I think it's a real comedy thing.
Actually, it's true. You don't evolve.
Yeah.
One of the happiest things I ever did was for an election, and I saw the candidate at the front, and I'd already gone into the room, and so I wanted to find out who they were endorsing, and so I could put them last. But I was like, that's a 50-meter walk. So I went in, and I got my name ticked off. And the happiest moment, I just walked out of the room.
No.
Didn't vote.
Don't waste the vote.
That was a state election up in Sydney, which didn't impact me. I was moving out of the air in about a month, and I didn't know it was actually an election. So I saw signs. I was like, oh, shit, I better go vote so I get fined.
Because of you, all the pubs are closing at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Yours was just a swing vote that could have changed it.
Yeah. That was the one.
Question five. You can't have good balls. They're sensitive, weird, and they're in a bag.
Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Because we haven't had a Kel one yet, I think it'd have to be Kel.
It's not. It's Nick. That's another Holy Nick shit. One.
Really? I'm surely not.
Keeping us on our toes. Keeping us on our balls.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't.
Do you still agree with that? With the premise of what you're saying?
Sorry, now that I'm sort of working through, unpacking a statement like that. Yeah, I see where I could have been coming from that, you know, like they're sort of, I mean, they seem unattractive. I don't know. I mean, does anyone else find balls unattractive?
Well, we don't want to kink shame on the podcast.
I think I'm the one.
No, exactly.
Kelly, yeah.
I've seen the most balls in this room, I'd say.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I don't. What's the question?
I think I was getting at is that they're not really, you know, they're not handsome.
No, they're not. They're gross. But it depends. Some of them are nice and tight, but some of them you could pitch a tent with. Because it's just too much skin.
Right.
And it is a nightmare. But
Bill Nye's quite jowly. He must have the longest balls in the world.
I don't know, but you gotta weigh it up with, is he a personality? Will he kill me? Okay, I'll take the balls for what it is.
Yeah. All right, question six.
Sorry, guys. Too visual?
Question six. My dog is trying to hump a male dog in the wrong area. I am so proud. Yes, Declan.
It's Kelly.
You are correct. Yes, yeah. It's Kelly.
It's hard because I know Nick only recently had a dog.
Yep.
And Michael doesn't have a dog. And I just assumed, and Nick's uncomfortable talking about sex. And so I assumed that it was going to be Kelly.
Jimmy Chocolate Chip.
That's your dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's got chocolate chips all over him.
And what were they getting up to? What was the action here?
It was a spoodle. Yeah. And
did he do the check with his paw? The ding, 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 ding.
Well, because when we got him from the pound, he just got fixed.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he still thought he was a man. He didn't know, you know what I mean? Like he still had his stitches in. But he doesn't do it anymore. But yeah, it was to the point where I was like, you're bringing shame to the family, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Stop it. But the other dog wasn't biting back. So, you know, you got to bloody. Anyway, I just got a message just before we started now from its other mother, from Jimmy's other mother, with something he's ruined.
Great.
Which is great.
Does he hump at home, though?
No. You know, he's good now.
I don't understand. I have a female dog and she's done very little of it, but a little bit of bed humping.
Yeah.
Which I was like, you know, it's just, I find it, I can't look at it. I don't. Humping is just, it really turns me off. Whereas butt dragging, I don't know if you've seen a dog.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Love butt dragging. I'm like, do that all day. It's like you've got wheels. No. Just have fun. But the humping, it's like, I might take you back.
Jimmy actually does the crawl where he's on his belly with his back legs at the back and he'll crawl for heaps. Yeah. So I think he's sure he's rubbing his dick up against the carpet. We don't know, but...
Fantastic.
Gross.
Nice. But I can't watch a butt drag. No, really, really makes me uncomfortable.
Well, because is it because he's got an itchy bum hole?
I just think it looks magical on a hardwood floor. They're just gliding. It's like a moonwalk for a dog.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But I understand why you wouldn't like it because I don't like the humping. And other people go like, yeah, look at him hump. Yeah, I love it. So he's so big.
Where do you stand with the humping then, Dick? Are you okay with that?
Well, I have a female dog and she's a bit older and no other dogs try to hump her anymore.
Uh-huh.
She a bigger dog though? What kind?
She'll meet the right dog one day.
Kelpie.
Okay.
Kelpie.
But they're a bit bigger. It's hard for a dog to hump a Kelpie.
Do you thrash her with a switch?
Jesus.
So when you're training her, do you have her in the pit and she's doing laps of the pit, the chain around her neck?
Like when she's attacking the other dog, when she's fighting
next?
I mentioned
the dog's real name.
I run a dog fighting ring in Preston. Come down.
No.
It's great time. A lot of great way to meet people.
Question seven. Come on, side bottom. Who wrote that? Come on, side bottom.
Declan.
Yes, Declan.
Kelly.
You are correct. Yes, another point for Kelly.
Congratulations.
Thank you. What was that about again? I can't remember.
The footballer Sid side bottom, still side bottom.
Side bottom. Because that's
you had
funny,
money on.
That's a funny surname. I do side bottom.
But you didn't write it as if it was a surname. You wrote it as in side and bottom.
Yeah.
So
it is an extraordinary sort of comical name to give your kids. Steel side bottom. Like it's a bad, like putting a,
it's a Rick Mayall character.
Yeah, I was going to say Carry On character. Like it is. And as someone who was picked on a bit for their name at school, Declan Faye, Declan Gay, you know, and too much, Kelly, a little bit.
Now, they nailed it back in school, Dec. They nailed it back then.
I think the response is pretty right on.
I was like, in that monosecond, I was like, what could they possibly say? Yeah. Like, Declan Faye? Declan's a beautiful name. Faye?
I did four primary schools, and so, and each time, time they read the role, it would be someone would, they'd get to Declan Faye, and there would be a guy, Declan Gay. Every time.
Kids are brutal.
And then they morphed it to, like, they then, like, warped it when they got sick of it. It was Dickless Gay, and then they can't.
And then it just became Fuckhead.
Maybe it wasn't your name, maybe it was you.
Next question.
Kids can be cruel, or they can be right. Yeah. In some cases.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is I have sympathy for Steel Sidebottom. There's no way wasn't copying it for that at school.
Absolute gun, Steel Sidebottom.
You would know.
Exactly. Hanging out at the Lexus Centre.
Amazing thing of Steel Sidebottom plays for Collingwood. Sorry, Josh, I know you're moving us on, but he can pick, he remembers the boots that players wear. So you can type...
it's a classic side bottom trait.
Patrick Dangerfield, and he will say Nike with a black with a yellow stripe.
Because when he was a kid, he was told, don't make eye contact. Then they'll pick on you if you make eye contact. So he's just looking at everyone's shoes.
Looking at feet the whole time. Yeah, it's an amazing, worthless power to have.
Yeah. Mm. Here we go. Next question. I just said the words out loud, fuck, I love Audi. Not sure if I've reached a truly enlightened state or this is just a desperate cry for help.
Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
I think it's Declan.
You are correct. Yes, it was Declan. Point there for Kelly.
He has a family. It's important. Aldi.
I don't think I've ever stepped foot in an Aldi.
I thought you said Audi.
Mate,
I was like, oh.
Ironically, I also do think the design of Audis is quite aesthetically beautiful, the car. But it was Aldi for the shopping
center. Those middle aisles, though. You can find anything there. It's the best.
What is going? But seriously, what's going on at the checkouts at Aldi's?
Oh yeah,
like you're having. Is you're all enjoying that? Yeah. I mean, it is a grim nightmare. And why is everybody nuts at Aldi? Like everybody's crazy. No personal space. Just 50 items right here. What? No bags. The guy's sitting down. Oh, it's a freak out every time.
I've never been into an Aldi, so
got to go in there for the.
They're sitting down at the register, are they?
And they're sitting down, and then if you don't know how it all works, they're like, hey, buddy, you didn't buy a bag? Like, work it out.
Oh, the people behind you will kill you if it's like holding up the line.
Are there rules at Aldi? I've only walked around them.
Yeah, just move it or lose it.
And if you go to buy the alcohol out of the locked box, I mean, you just throw everything into a complete... world of hurt. They have to get out of their chair. They got to find a set of keys. The people behind with frozen fish that'll last them months are furious.
So I had a few reasons for saying that I like it. The first is that it's because it's got that middle aisle of the weird. There'll be a tent and a hammock and a toy and a Frank Sinatra album. And that's not me. I have seen all of those things in there. But it's a really great thing for distracting your kid in the shops because they can look through. There was a giant like one of those sort of gizmo Barbie cars from Gremlins, but that a kid could ride. And this Audi was out of the box and my kid was like loving it. And so it distracts them. But then the second reason was that my younger kid is obsessed with a particular brand of Icy Pole and won't eat any other type of Icy Pole. And so I buckled and went to get it and they had run out.
So your kid only eats German Icy Pops.
It is a very obscure sort of yogurt, like, but covered in like a sort of, you know, like it's covered in something. Yeah. And and they were run out and I went and spoke to the guy. I said, is there any chance you have this brand out the back? And he went and looked and he had one box left out the back.
Mate.
So that was the reason I love Aldi. Like, I genuinely, on that day, if you know you're going to return home victorious and the kid's not going to tear the house apart, that is a reason to love Aldi.
It's a very lovely story.
What a delightful story about childhood obesity.
Yeah, my kid is diabetic now. And
speaking of lovely stories, our last tweet for the round, have some balls and go shave them. Who wrote that?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
On the ball theme, Nick.
You are correct. Yeah. Yes, it was Nick. Yes.
Well, that's strange.
Scrotally fixated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've embarrassed me, Josh. It now looks like that's all I think about.
Shave?
Yeah. I mean,
itchy?
Yeah. It seems strange to me. I agree with you. So it must have been a time.
Have some balls and go shave them.
Yeah. Go shave them, yeah.
Have some balls.
Because all comedy comes from a truth.
So the idea being that the balls, have some balls, meaning you don't have the courage to go and shave them.
Can't stomach
off.
It.
Shave the balls off.
You're too yellow to shave your balls.
But get some courage and castrate yourself with a shaver from Shaver Shop.
All right, at the end
or
of the
from
round.
Aldi, there's a very good deal.
Oh, man, that little oil.
You can buy 400 shavers for scrotal shavers for $2.99.
At the end of the round, the scores are Michael on 2 points.
Hey!
Kelly on 2 points.
Whoa.
Nick on 2 points. But in the lead on 3 points is Declan Fay.
Yeah. Yes.
This round is called Year Book. Now, in this round, we go back in time to someone's younger days and talk about an event that has stayed with us. Now, today, we're talking about a young Nick Maxwell. Now, when Nicholas was a young man, he went to see Melbourne comedian and writer Ray Matson do a gig that was a dinner and a show. At the gig, a man heckled and Ray put the man in his place. But what did Nick witness the man do next? Was it A, the man picked up his fork and with all the fury of a man who'd just been embarrassed, he held it under the table and bent it in half? Was it B, the man picked up his steak and went to throw it at the stage without realising the pepper sauce flew off behind him and sprayed a woman who was sitting behind him? The woman's husband then punched the man in the back of the head and the gig was cancelled? Or was it C, the man picked up his drink, tipped it on his own head, tried to rip the tablecloth off before marching himself out of the venue? For years, Nick thought that this was all part of the show. Now, one of these is true. You can ask him as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he'll be bluffing. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Can I just say, it's amazing, because obviously Nick and I have done a podcast for 9 years, and you do think you've heard every shit story that someone's got, and it's sort of often in triplicate.
So you don't know this story?
I even know Ray,
yes.
And I don't know this story at all.
Can I ask, Ray? Who is Ray?
Ray Matson.
I've never heard of this.
Well, I thought it'd be a good
Barry Award winner.
A few people on this, you know, panel know Ray, and I remember being a kid. I was a young kid. I think I got into the comedy club underage to see this. And I wasn't getting the dinner and show, by the way, because that would have cost extra. And so it's interesting that we went on to work with Ray years
Ray
later.
Ray was in Brian Munich and Friends that won the Barry in 2001. It was 2001. And then it also he became head writer of Rove for many years. Spicks and Specs.
He was head writer of my season of Spicks and Specs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Good
so
man.
Look, it's amazing that I haven't heard this story from either of you. The fork bending is like very... Is it Yuri Gagarin that bends the forks? Yuri Geller. Who was Yuri Gagarin? He was the first cosmonaut.
He was Russian, yeah. Yeah.
I'm mixing up my
so
Yuri.
So many thoughts in your
Yuri
brain.
Yuri Geller's famous for Don Lane kicking him off the show.
Oh, really? Mid-show?
Yeah, called him a you're a hack. No, kind called him a con man. Yeah. Said, get off the show. And then Don Lane actually walked off his own show.
Wow. So I love a car crash. Yeah. Nick and I were always obsessed with the Normie Rowe and Bruce Ruck.
The midday show.
Punching on the midday show.
Yeah. I was home from school that day. I was at my nan's and I watched it. It was so great.
Do you know what? We were on holidays. It was school holidays in Melbourne. And we watched that show every day. And on that particular day, Mum goes, you're not watching TV. And took us for a walk on the beach. And I missed the only interesting
Mom!
Thing.
Oh, Jesus!
What are you talking about? Wally the Worker? He was always interesting.
I can't believe it.
So the three options again?
So... Bent a fork,
yeah.
Threw a steak and got punched, or tipped his own drink on his head, tried to rip off the tablecloth, stormed out.
I want it to be the third one, so could you tell me what drink it might be?
Well, it would have a little pina colada or something like that, like a tropical
some kind
style.
Of cocktail of yeah, some type.
Like where was it?
I want to say Fluffy Duck, but I don't actually know if that's a real drink.
Yeah,
I just always that... wish that was a drink. So I'd say more something like that, like a pre-dinner cocktail.
I'm already a bit suspect by the fact I feel like pina colada and Fluffy Duck are a bit above the powers of the bartenders at a comedy club.
Yeah. Is that where it was?
They're walking around going,
I think it was at the comedy club, yes. And I think I was underage, so I just want to keep saying that.
And the other one was through pepper sauce.
Pepper, so steak.
Through the steak, sauce flew off behind.
So, you know, you get a steak covered in, what's the steak, Diane? I don't know.
Okay.
Mushroom sauce, you get your peppercorn sauce. You know, because I love having the peppercorns in there because you love chewing down on a peppercorn.
It's very, you can often catch people out on the detail here. Mm-hmm. Peppercorn sauce.
What do they say?
Is very specific. It's very, like, how would you have clocked? Because some people could look at a
well, because often you get a minute steak and it'll have the peppercorn, so it's just a brown sauce like all the other sauces, except you can see the peppercorn, so you know that's the pepper.
But that's like that's almost like X-ray vision if you can spot tiny peppercorns.
He was a young teen, so he probably
and
a
I didn't
late
really
teen.
Understand great the humor, eyes. So I was just going like, look at all them peppercorns, man.
what started this fray? Like, what happened before?
Well, so I have to say this because I do remember a little bit. So Ray was talking about, he had a great sort of persona on stage, was the idea that he was so poor. You know, Bill Gates has got X amount of money. Mm. And whereas he's on his knees in the kitchen coming to the gig trying to fish a dollar out from under his stove. Mm. And it turns out to be the twist top to a VB. I've obviously butchered that. But it was, you know, so it was that kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway, then somehow he got on to... the movie Trainspotting, which obviously would have been popular. That probably, I don't know the year of Trainspotting.
Would fit in, yeah.
Yeah, that would fit in. So he gets onto Trainspotting and he's doing a joke about Trainspotting. And the guy next to me goes, down the S-bend. What he yelled out. Because Renton goes in after his suppository and he's trying to add to the joke of going down the S-bend. But Ray didn't hear that. And no one could hear it. And why would you yell that out anyway?
Yeah.
And so he's gone, what, down the SB? Oh, we're not at the SB, mate. You don't know where you are, blah, blah, blah. And then they had some sort of punchline. And then this sort of infuriated the guy to, you know, do what he did.
I'm going to go with the drink over the head and then pulling of the tablecloth. Because I want that one to be true.
So Michael thinks C. Declan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Because a fork, you said, oh, I thought it was part of the show. It's like, what a weird thing to put in a show, a guy bending a fork under the table. So,
and then what did he do with the fork? Like what? He bent the fork and then what happened?
Just he got the fork and just bent it under the table, furious.
Yeah.
How did you know he did that? Like you saw him do that and he went, ha ha, and lifted it up? I feel like I'm missing something.
I don't know what to say to that.
Okay. Okay. So it... that seems like the
I've
tone
now
that...
lost the understanding of how bluffing works. Because
you said that to Kelly in a way like you've just been caught by your wife. Like, Nick, where have you? Why are you home at 4 a.m.? I know, and I don't.
I'm always home at 4 a.m. What are you talking about?
Why did you get like $400 out of the ATM at 3 in the morning? What's going on?
I don't know what to
you
say.
You smell
to that.
Of perfume, and you've got lipstick on your collar.
Okay, so we know it's not the fork because you ballsed it up.
So I did a good job there, yeah.
So it's and I don't. I'm going to go.
No, I think I've done a bad job.
I'm going to go with the drink over the head.
You think C as well.
Steak.
Yeah. And you think steak. B.
Just to be different.
Well, the correct answer was A. Here's the bluff king. It was A.
No way.
3 points there for Nick.
You son of a dingbat.
No.
So the SB bit is true, the mixer with the down the S-bend.
Yeah, that's right. And he said, you know, we're not at the SB, mate. You're a complete todger or whatever he said. And I just remember being absolutely terrified because everyone else was just laughing and looking the other way, and it was just me and this guy, and I just watched him grab his fork and just bend it in half.
And then did what? Nothing.
And
then just put it on the table gently?
No, I think he just...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think he, I don't know, I don't think he put it back up. I think he just bent it in half and then let it go and was like, I need another fork.
Yeah.
Well, he probably didn't say that.
I would have, the only way that gets better is I would have loved if out of just pure stubbornness, like my dad would have been the kind of guy to go, nah, I'm eating this steak with my bent fork for the on an awkward angle for the rest of the night.
I just remember feeling that sort of thread of violence and just going, don't laugh, don't laugh. Good fork bending, buddy.
There is a certain man who doesn't like not being the funniest person in the room.
Yes.
And having to join it and then go, oh, and then just getting that aggression out somewhere.
That guy got really aggressive and then he spent the rest of the night stabbing people from around corners.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Michael still on 2 points, Kelly still on 2 points, Declan still on 3 points, but now in front on 5 points is Nick Maxwell.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. The bluff has just put you over the top.
Ooh la la.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. You get a point if you get it correctly. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So the first one, to Nick. Now, when Michael was 16, he got blackout drunk at a party and spewed in his school bag. The next day he got home and told his family that someone else vomited in the bag and absolutely no one believed him. Yeah or nah? You can ask him as many questions as you want.
So your family didn't believe you?
Family didn't believe me, yep.
The family were like, you've done it again, Michael.
Well, not done it again, this, no.
No, but they're like, clearly, come on.
I think they thought the idea that it was strange that you'd brought somebody else's spew into the house after probably travelling on public transport for 45 minutes or so.
Have you been at a party?
I'd been at a party the night before and stayed over at that friend's place.
What year was this, Josh?
Was 16.
16, so 2008.
So 16, so like year 10 or 11?
Were you drinking to black out the fact that you had taken your school bag to a party?
Well, no, that was like just a handy bag to take clothes, change of clothes or whatever.
So straight to the party after school, just straight in there.
I might have had to...
Go to a friend's house to change into your best clothes.
I went to the friend's place to bartend for their sister's 21st. And so I might have had to take a change of clothes. Maybe they asked us to wear a
And did you get blackout because you were like...
Probably having one for you, one for me.
Can I ask a question?
But when you're that age, it's probably like one for you, one for me. Well, that's too much.
Yeah. I say, Michael... were you someone who was known to get a bit crook on the alcohol at that age? That's why no one believed you?
No, I wouldn't have been. No.
So this was the first time that people were like, oh, here he is.
Yeah, I probably went to rehab for the first time. I was about 13. I stayed pretty good after that. Had a bit of the Drew Barrymore's about me.
You wish.
And I'm a very good actress.
Little boy lost. I'm going to go, yeah.
You are correct. That is all true. Yes.
I had to go off, I think, about half an hour. I think I was in a hurry. I think I had to get home like 10 a.m. and then go off and play in like an indoor soccer thing with my brother. He had a little team that I joined in. And I have a memory of my mum like in the backyard hosing out my bag and just going, this is fucking not what I want to do right now.
16.
Poor person. Poor lady.
It's when your family is having to sort of make up for a bodily function of yours. it's a real walk of shame.
Okay, so to Kelly.
Yeah.
When Declan was working for Cricket Australia, he had to record a sketch with Mark Taylor, former captain. And as a joke, Declan asked him about Fujitsu. And Mark very earnestly told him how great that company is and excitedly told him about a new air conditioner. Declan felt so bad that he pretended that he was really interested in air conditioners. Oh, yeah, man. Or nah?
Oh, boy. So how long did you pretend to be interested?
In air conditioners?
Yeah.
For the length of the interview, because it's Mark Taylor was the captain of the Australian cricket team, and
right.
I thought he would go along with the joke, and so you're then trapped in the joke for the remainder of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you sweating? Because you don't strike me as someone who could hold it in for very long.
Who could hold the pressure in? I've got a very good game face when it comes to those things.
Great.
And I snap into with those people. I don't actually like the character that I snap into with those people. I sort of become a bit more of an Aussie. Ah, you'll be right, mate. It'll be okay.
I'm like that with tradesmen. I drop it about three octaves.
Yeah.
So I
snapped into that character.
But were you being... can I ask a question? Yeah. Were you being offensive or were you just sort of like trying to be... jovial. Thought he might catch smell of your joke and...
You're always trying to find something funny about the person, and there's not much funny about Mark
Taylor.
Yeah,
what do you relate to him about?
He's
tubby.
Well, that's
the only other weird thing,
Tubby Taylor.
Yeah, but that's like when someone calls you Fatty Arbuckle or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's like maybe he doesn't like it. Well, people called me Belly when I was growing up, not a great, you know, nickname. Okay.
Still better than Declan Gay. The thing with Mark Taylor is I've got weird associations with him because my dad, like, loved cricket and would sit there. I've actually told this to Nick, who found it quite amusing, but my dad...
We'll be the judge of that.
I think the listeners will be. So yeah.
My dad was obsessed with Mark Taylor. He had about 19 innings in a row when he was captain where he didn't hit a 50. And he was really struggling and they kept him in because they'd never axed a captain while they were captain.
I remember that.
And my dad, I can tell you the F word.
Yeah.
And my dad would sit there.
Which one?
My dad, father.
Yeah.
My dad would lie. I remember him lying on the couch during that particular Ashes tour. And Taylor went out again. And I remember my daddy just sort of say it to anyone that was in the room. He goes, right, this bloke's a fucking asshole. If he cared about this team, he would fucking drop himself. I don't even give a fuck if he makes 100 in the next game. And Taylor made 100 in the next game and broke it. And he had this real thing that if you're letting the team down, he should have dropped himself out of loyalty.
What was that score he did make? 333?
And then he declared because he didn't think he should beat the record.
Yeah, Bradman's record. And then who beat it? Someone then went ahead
Brian
and...
Matthew Moore. Hayden...
Yeah,
he made 360 against Bangladesh.
That was one in the eye for Tubby.
Yeah, well, I just sort of thought, I didn't like Taylor doing that either. That seemed a bit of a martyr act. But, yeah, my dad had a real loathing of Mark Taylor. And so...
Did you tell him about that?
No. That was going on in the back of my mind.
Oh, yeah,
that
right.
my association with him is like... Because I think Steve was great, but I just had my dad's voice going... Right, he's a fucking asshole.
Did you have that in your head? You like the question you want to ask? Like, you're a fucking asshole. You should step down as captain of Fujitsu.
Narcissistic. So, where did you work for Cricket Australia?
Cricket Australia is a series of comedy sketches that Michael was also in the end of 2008, going into 2009, and they just had us interview different people, do a couple of sketches.
It was Deccan Chambo at the cricket.
That's what it was called.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I remember this. Who else? What other people did you use?
We had Nathan Bracken. We found him a bowling celebration because he was looking for a bowling celebration.
So what was the sketch with Mark Taylor? What did you guys end up
doing? That was a purely an interview. We did a thing where we did a red carpet for Boxing Day.
Okay.
And we set it up at the members' entrance, like, what are people wearing? And we just thought that would be amusing to do a red carpet on the first morning of the cricket.
I feel like I want to say nah because I feel like it's true, but it was someone else. With something else, not Mark Taylor.
So you're going to say no?
Nah.
You are correct. Thank you. It wasn't true.
Yeah. Well done.
Well, golly, go. I tried to stay a bit quiet then, and then you brought me into it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, doesn't that give more of a reality to it?
Well, I was trying to make it was real.
Yeah.
And I tried, but the thing is, it was actually Michael that asked the Fujitsu question.
Really?
Yeah, you said something like, we are here with Mark Taylor, who is... a master in the ancient art of Fujitsu.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And Mark Taylor just paused and didn't know how to respond. And I actually think he's a bit sensitive about the Fujitsu thing.
Okay. Because he can't pronounce it. The whole thing.
He says Fujitsu.
Yeah.
And you'd think if you were being the sponsor of... So what you were... It was quite close. Michael did it. He paused and did an awkward pause. And then he got it, like a lot of those media train guys, he got it back on track and it was fine. Yeah. But the rest of it was a bit... dull, and we ended up
cut it
so that it was literally the only bit that we used was Michael going, we're here with Mark Taylor, former Australian captain and master of the ancient art of Fujitsu, left the long pause and cut it. And Cricket Australia were really annoyed because they said we'd embarrassed a former captain and they'd made an
error. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
And I said to them, well, he's a fucking asshole.
And then you say, well, wait about 15 years and the next captain's going to bring heaps of shame on him.
Well, that's exactly. So anyway, it was incorrect, but it was was in a. I was wary of this one. Josh put it in a shady area because Michael did actually ask the question.
All right. So to Michael now, Nick secretly loves drinking the water from the salad spinner after he spun his salad leaves.
Awesome.
He loves drinking the water.
That's fantastic. Again, I want this one to be true. What do you find fantastic about the taste?
Well, it's just all that dirt and grit and slime
spiders
that most people hate on their salad leaves. And I just find having it condensed into a delicate juice is just, well, it's a perfect way to start a meal.
I don't use them a great deal. So does the water form at the bottom or do you have to tip it out?
Oh, you don't use them a great deal? Oh, well.
No. I can't say I've owned one probably in my entire life.
You've never owned a salad spinner?
No.
How do you wash your salad leaves?
I maybe run them under the water in a sieve.
Okay.
That's probably a classier way to do
just
it.
Just to give a context, I was with somebody doing Michael's podcast in his house a while ago, and we opened the fridge to get some milk for a coffee.
Oh, this is going
to
be a fucking stitch up, eh? Stitch up.
The only thing in there aside from milk
was a salad spinner. So he's lying.
Was a rotten apple. And the person that was there.
You've got to keep the rotten ones.
And the person that was there with me said, that doesn't look at all like a serial killer's fridge.
Yeah, I don't think that's quite. I think it would have been empty. The milk would have been there. I don't think it would have had a rotten apple. I don't really buy apples. But also at the same time, mate, when you live alone, you buy day by day. You don't buy day by day. I don't know where I'm going to be eating tonight.
Yeah. Day by day.
I don't know where my meals are coming from. Yeah. So why buy extra?
You when don't, I'm you don't go meal rotten. Plan for the week? You don't go Monday ride? Write a list down of what you're going to have every meal. It's go hard. Out and buy it.
Impulsive, man. Impulsive.
He's he could eat the rotten apple. Yeah. Or he could.
Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like Uber Eats, but at the shop. Do you pour it into a cup or anything?
So you spin your leaves and then the water will sort of go slightly green. It's very satisfying to then drain out. Your leaves are all perfectly dry and I just drain it out into a little crystal scotch glass and knock it back as I...
specific cup.
It's dirty water.
Yeah, just a little.
It's
bit
got
of
the
old.
Nutrients of
it's
the green. Leaves.
It's like a free green juice, you know, to all these people
you've got
buy.
Too much time in your hands.
Have you ever
it's
found
like a
any...
free wheatgrass.
Have you ever found anything in it?
Oh yeah, like little bugs and worms and shit.
This is all right. You're putting great shame on the salad spinner.
I'm gonna say no, just by the fact it's too weird.
You are correct, yes. Yeah.
I did a tried.
I mean, he's weird, but it's not that weird. Like, yeah.
But you get great joy out of spinning the leaves.
Well, so I hate that because the salad spinners are generally, I mean, unless you've got some great one, but I find they're all plastic. It doesn't quite fit together and it's really annoying and it spins. But then once you've spun it, the leaves are beautifully dry and then there's this sort of almost euphoric as you just tip the juice into the sink and go like, oh, look at that come off. That's liquid I could never have got off those leaves.
Take that, water. Got you, good one.
I really enjoy that that's where you sort of get your sexual thrills.
Yeah.
Is the salad water being tipped into the sink.
It's your moment of zen every day, yes.
Everything's right with the world at that point.
I get off on peel and skin off a chicken breast. There's something about it coming off. I'm like, yeah, that feels right.
Oh, yeah,
that feels right.
Oh, boy.
Did you eat the skin or do you
No, yeah, I mean, it's very, very occasions, but I prefer the skin on it. But there's something about that feeling of pulling that off that I go, that's sick.
Mm.
I put a little cup and I drink it.
So, to Declan. Now, Kelly and her flatmates have a dog, Jimmy. We've already established that. Mm-hmm. And one day, while Kelly's flatmate was walking the dog, it shat out a condom. Kelly's flatmate picked it up and brought it home and told Kelly that they might need to start Marie Kondoing their house.
Marie Kondo's very good with condoms, by the way. Use condoms. You roll
Doesn't
them.
You roll.
Like that is the next Nick Giannopoulos character is Marie Condom. Just walks around your house going, your friend is there, more friend is there. Does Marie Kondom put frangers into your house or take them out? Take some, I don't know.
Marie Kondom. Yeah, cool, thanks.
You roll them and you stack them.
Because Nick and I had the pleasure of, Nick found in an op shop in one of those sort of bizarre shops, a magazine in Adelaide, a magazine called that Nick Giannopoulos was on the cover of before he was like massively famous. Nick Giannopoulos, he was sort of semi-famous. And it was called, he's sitting on the front of a car, and the magazine is a short-lived magazine called Chariots of the Wogs. And Nick Giannopoulos is on it. Is it a Rolls Royce?
Yeah, with fluffy dice. With fluffy, hilarious.
With fluffy dice as his balls on the cover. And he writes as a character inside the magazine called Spiro Sakamagoulis.
I think that's funny.
It is funny. For the listeners, I'm laughing because that is actually funny.
That is great. Sakamagoulis.
Spiro Sakamagoulis.
It's as if it was a surname, but it, yeah.
It brings me back to the 12th man.
But the problem is he over-eggs the joke. It goes for pages and pages. It's a diary of Spiro Sakamagoulis all the nightclubs he goes to, and doesn't he how to pick up in Macca's?
Was there ever a second? We don't know if there was ever a second publication of this magazine, but it was a real magazine.
It was a
real
magazine.
I don't know how you pick up in Macca's.
And they've actually got in the magazine, they've also got an honorary wog, which is it Bruce Ruxton?
No, I'm going to forget. He had a fantastic car phone. This guy.
Who was it? And they called.
It was your guy. Wasn't it Normie Rowe?
No, it was Ron Casey. It was Ron Casey, and they've given him a wog name, and he's called Ronaldo Cassie. And he's talking about his car and how the best ways to. Anyway, and
before Ron Casey punched Normie Rowe, he said, "Suck my ghoulies."
Ghoulies anyway, is a great word.
That is just some of the joys of the Chariots of the Wogs magazine. But
back to Jimmy and his condom eating ways.
Jimmy chocolate bars? What was it?
Chocolate chip.
Jimmy chocolate chip.
It's literally as you went through it, I swung with certainty from true, not true, true, not true. But like literally every third word of it. Whew. It pooed out a condom. Mm. I was going to say yes because it's so specifically odd, but then your housemate picked it up. Mm. Why did you question your housemate why she picked – how did she pick it up?
In the Poopy-Doo bags.
Yeah.
But she brought it back to show me because she was quite furious about the whole ordeal and to prove to me. But also a few days earlier he had eaten chocolate and that was her fault.
Yeah, right.
So now we're even.
Why did she? Because there's a few of you in the house. Why did she assume that the condom was yours?
No. There's only two of us in the house.
Okay.
So
and she knew it wasn't hers.
She knew it wasn't hers
because she'd already had a house Marie condomed.
She's barebacking. That's
a, yeah.
God, it's so oddly specific.
Yeah.
Because I had a friend whose dog would eat their socks and then poo the socks out, like whole, which I don't know how a dog's stomach
works.
I've
had a comic staying with me the last few days.
Do the same thing, eat socks and then...
Her parents are vets and we were talking about it and she said it's like one of the number one things that dogs eat. There's something about it where they just get it. But socks for big dogs is a big one. Condoms for small dogs is the biggest. Because I've been really ashamed about it. So anyway,
you know what? I'm gonna say yes. It's true.
You are incorrect. Clever Kelly.
Woo. So the truth is, he did do the condom, but I found it. He pooped it out on my watch, and we didn't do anything. And I didn't show anyone.
You didn't
about
thrash
it.
Him with a switch.
No. As far as I was concerned, he pooped it out. We didn't need to take him to the vet. Everything was fine.
And when's he fight again? Well,
But it was my condom, definitely. But it did have the chocolate a few days earlier.
I should have asked as I was asking before. Was it a like?
It was in the bin. I didn't even know he ate it. He went through the bin at a time we had no idea. And then for the day before, he was acting weird.
Sounds like a big Valentine's Day for Jimmy.
Yeah, right? And it's just so disgusting. It's disgusting. Anyway, but I mean, Seals is very happy that I am practicing safe sex. Good for me. Anyway, but he was acting weird the day before. So we were going to take him to the vet anyway.
Yeah.
And then I took him for a walk in my lunch break. I went home in my lunch break just to check up on him because he was acting weird.
Luckily, it happened before you took him to the vet.
Dude, well...
Because they would have taken him off you.
We still took him to the vet. We're like, he had a condom. And the guy's like, happens all the time.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Cool.
I just had a dog eat my condom here at the vet's.
It makes me sound whorish,
well, I was
but
waiting.
I'm not. It's like the first condom
that
that's
make
been...
You sound like that.
Oh, shit.
Fine.
I know, but some people are like, ugh. I'm like, for one thing, I'm not... I'm respecting myself. And number two, it's funny. It's always, like, at least it's the first condom we've had in the house
yep.
since we've had the dog. And he found it. So now we have a whole strategic thing about how we deal with the rubbish bin.
Little Slippin' Jimmy.
He's so cute though. And I just got a message before we started about something else he ate that Celia sent to me.
Okay. Mandarin.
No, it was a protein bar.
Oh. Well, that's bad. There's chocolate on that. But like, apparently it's like we worry about
it was
dog
vanilla.
Oh, that was all right. See, I was very worried about the chocolate thing, but apparently they need to eat like a whole
No, we
broth.
Took him. No. We took him and they were like, we're glad you took... Like,
how much did he eat?
We don't know, but apparently when he vomited it all, everything up, it was heaps. It went, and it was on the table. He maneuvered his way onto the table because he's very agile. He's a little puppy dog.
You got to thrash him with a switch.
So chocolate-flavoured condoms. Like,
oh, mate.
Instant death.
I love him.
Okay, in and around, the scores are Michael on 3 points, Declan on 3 points, Kelly on 4 points, in the lead on 6 points is Nick Maxwell.
I don't know how that happened.
That is ridiculous.
All right, this is our final round. It's called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz in for your own ones. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. The only round you can lose points.
Hey, wait a second. So 10 questions about us four.
Yep.
And you...
Yes.
You're holding your hands up to say stop talking. I'm back because you're about to expose a huge flaw in the logic of this final segment.
No, what's
you shouldn't it be like 12, say so have 3 about each of us? Because if I can't, I have 3 questions here. Or if I have 4 questions here about me, I can't buzz in because they're mine. Therefore, the others get an unfair advantage.
Because you can lose points, it's the 50-50 thing every time.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that bit.
Jesus Christ.
Mike was very concerned about the integrity of a podcast quiz.
But I don't know. I think by taking the points away... Anyway.
All right, question one.
I'm on to you, Earl. I'm on to you.
Any mathematicians listening or statisticians...
joking my way.
Let me know if
Fujitsu.
The game is flawed.
Let's bring this shit down.
Okay, question one. Who used to think they were secretly giving people the finger behind two-way mirrored glass and you discover it was just a window?
Kelly.
Yes, I heard Kelly first.
I'm going to have to say Nicholas.
You are correct. Yes, it was Nick. Yes.
Just got something angry about him. Fuck you, Carl.
How old were you when you realised it was just a window?
I don't know why. I was just dumb. I kept getting
it
wrong.
Why are you so angry at the
world? No, I wasn't angry. I was like, I was once on the restaurant tram and once in a restaurant, and I was just in my mind, I was assured that this glass they couldn't see, but I had to test it. And instead of just testing it with something small, I'd give someone the finger and they'd go like, fuck you! And stop, fuck this kid in there! And I was like, go, tram, go!
Run, run, run!
More microwave steak!
It's a restaurant tram, though. It doesn't go very fast.
No.
Question two. Who recently got kicked out of a video store?
Declan.
Yes, Declan.
Michael.
You are correct, yes.
Proudest moment of my life.
In Hobart?
No, I just went in to get out of the rain very quickly, and the guy walking around, I was the only one in there, surprised, and the guy said, can I help you? I said, no. He said, are you a member? I said, no. He said, members only. And I had
video
to leave.
Video store?
I had to leave the video shop.
That would have been a yeah, nah. Like, there are no video stores.
It's a video store.
It's an adult video store, is it? Is that what it was?
No, it's just a general one, just a very small one.
It's
like,
a video
one
store.
The one holding on.
Dude, you could have bought the place right then and there.
I know.
You'd love it with all the VHS.
Yeah! Suck it to me.
All right, question three. Who wants to split their pants getting onto stage?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Declan.
No, that was Kelly.
I just thought Declan would like a story about himself like that.
The jeans had already frayed.
I don't know if that's a backhanded compliment or a front-handed criticism.
Are you just in love with yourself? So what happened?
Did you?
They were already. I'm very Italian, so the first place to go on all my jeans, which is why I'm wearing a skirt today, because my jeans. I have to get a new pair of jeans. Anyway, the middle inside is the first place to just fray away, and then before you know it, like it's just like last night.
I don't think that's an Italian thing. My jeans do that too.
No, we've got big. Josh,
cultural appropriation. All right.
Sorry.
Mine would do it quicker. Like, these are, like, Levi's I've only had for, like, 4 months. It's a very specific...
Oh, I thought they would have been Bettina Liana's.
Yeah, just for the listener, what Michael just said, I am doing this podcast wearing a Native American headdress. Just so you know, because I'm about to go to a festival. So, yeah. All right. Question four. Who, on a first date, had their date turn up and straight away say, oh, I forgot my wallet, and just leave?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
I'm going to say Kelly, because she does a pod about dates.
You are correct. Yes, that's true.
He turned up and we went to get the drinks and he goes, oh, I got him. And then he went, oh, I've lost my wallet at home. I'll be back. And then left.
Did he come back at all?
Well, this is the thing. I'm like, what the fuck? And then the bartender's like, this is hilarious. I'm like, what do I do? So I pay for the drinks. I carry them outside, called Seals. I was like, what do I do? I'm like, how long? 25 minutes later, he still wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, he's left. He's seen me and he's gone home. No. And she's like, mate, don't worry. This is material, material. Don't cry. It's okay. It's material, material. And I see him sauntering down the road going, I got it. Right. Came back after 25 minutes.
Oh, thank God.
I've actually heard horrible. A good thing the guy does to is you... In like summertime, you wear like little short shorts with no pockets, and you go out and meet people and be like, "Oh no, I don't have my wallet because I'm in my short shorts." You get it. Mm-hmm. That's something I've heard a guy does.
You said that's a good thing.
Well, no, it's just a thing you could try it. I don't know if it works.
Well, a bit rough.
Whose first podcast had to be scrapped because they recorded it with the microphone around the wrong way?
Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
Declan.
Yes, you are correct. Thank yes, you. It was Declan.
That could have technically also been Nick. No, because he was on the podcast.
But I didn't do that.
The wrong way.
Was my microphone the wrong way too?
We were both around the wrong way. So they were oddly pointing at each other, but from a long way away.
It was probably gold.
Yeah. No headphones?
How many episodes have you recorded that you have lost?
There's one I didn't tell Nick about because I knew that he was really happy with what he'd taught. This is a long time ago. It's not, you know, it's not duplicitous now.
We're about to hear the beginning of the end of the sweetest poem. Stay tuned.
I've only ever lost one whole episode and I couldn't, something corrupted somewhere and I couldn't work it out.
That's what he says, but I've heard that he was drifting on the Hume Highway.
Well, I was editing it while
the thing went up in flames, all gone.
Question six, who, after having their first kiss, had the person say to them, why did you do that?
Declan.
Yes, Declan.
Michael.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Declan.
Why did you do that, Michael?
Oh, wait, I think I was like fucking seven or something.
You're in kindergarten,
Oh, yeah, okay,
She's young.
Kissing,
vomiting.
Okay, that's
you told me this a long time ago.
Oh, really? So gotcha. There was a girl like about three, four or five or something. It was like second year kinder, I think. And she liked me and I was like, oh, girls, yeah. Anyway, I was like, just like, oh, that'd be a nice thing to do. I think we have lunch, Gary, because she went, why'd you do that? Oh, God.
Well,
sorry.
But you were saying it was that you were grossed out by girls and then you thought it would be a nice thing to do for her or a nice thing to do in general,
I can't remember the total moment of it now, but I think it was more like this...
Nice way to spend an afternoon.
This might make her happy? Yeah. I don't know. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you're thinking outside of yourself. You're going, she was saying how much she likes me, so she might like this.
Gross.
And then she...
And you were like, let's wag.
Next question. Who, as a child, wanted to be Ivan Lendl?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Nick.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, that was Nick Maxwell.
Too true. I actually said this to someone the other day. I was having a tennis lesson because I thought it'd be a fun thing to do and rehone my skills from the childhood. And the tennis coach, I was like, I thought I'd impress him because he said he noticed something that I had was from Japan. And I said, oh, yes, I have been to Japan. I got that there. And I got this Ivan Lendl racket that you couldn't get anywhere else. And he was my hero when I was a kid. And he was just like so unimpressed, and the look on his face was like, why him? Out of everyone you could have said,
was he a Boris Becker fan or?
I don't know. I just think most people don't like Ivan Lendl because they didn't like the intense robotic dedication to his sport and the sawdust that would dry his grip, and the children had to come out and clean it up with dustpans. I loved it.
All right, next question: who here took someone's virginity in a beanbag? And then 10 years later, attended their same-sex wedding.
Declan.
Yes, Declan.
Kelly.
You are correct, yes.
Because I knew Michael hasn't had sex. quite seriously, Nick doesn't like discussing sex. So
you wouldn't have told a good
thing.
But I do like discussing beanbags. So.
Well, no, I've often found, and I mean this I've known Kelly for 10 years and have found quite an openness to,
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, an openness in discussions about
things.
So I think
anything wrong with it.
No, I feel like you're the only.
Yeah, I'm the only.
You're the only
one
person who I can in touch with any kind of emotional feeling whatsoever.
I think person mature enough to attend an ex's wedding.
I like the idea I imagine it's a turn of phrase, but in a beanbag. He actually got inside the beanbag.
Nah.
With the styrofoam.
Just had all the beans.
All right, next question. Who here once had a very heated argument on the street with a ticket inspector?
Kelly.
Michael.
I heard Kelly first.
That's Declan.
You are correct. Yes, it is Declan.
Justice!
I mean, numerous, multiple.
What was it? What was this one?
Well, I think the one that it is that you might be mentioning is not long after having a kid, we didn't sleep very much, and I'm not blaming the kid, but I was a little bit frayed.
Nah,
around
it's the fucking kid's fault, mate. Yeah,
mate, just say it's a safe space. No one's listening.
I was a bit frayed around the edges and where we used to work at the old ABC building, and you could see out into the street from the windows, and I saw that a ticket inspector was at my car. And if it's the time you're thinking about or that you've mentioned, we had in our office something someone had found at the ABC, an old hurling stick, you know, that Irish, like.
Whoa.
And I don't know. I actually can't tell you the thought process. I just know that I hadn't slept very much for quite a while and was teetering on the edge. And I went out and just grabbed the hurling stick and went after the guy.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And I've told Nick this.
This is directly in front of the Holocaust Museum?
Yeah.
Yes. There is a Holocaust Museum opposite the old ABC, and that's exactly where the car was parked.
Both buildings have a similar type of mood.
And I saw the guy putting it on, and you feel something snap in your brain, and I just said, "Take it off, mate."
Oh, Jesus.
And the guy looked up, and I said, "Take it off. No, I'm moving it. You can take it off now." And the guy said, "No, I can't. It's on the," I'm not going to do his accent, but he said, it's on the server. And I said, "I don't give a fuck about the server." And you can really feel the little wire. It's like you make a choice, I'm cutting the wire. And it was, and then the guy is going, "Can't, it's on the server." And he started to back away.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Then he then started to run. And I was screaming, "Take it off! Take it off!"
This is like a side story from the movie Falling Down.
Yeah. It's based on very defense. It really did.
I feel bad for him because he's just doing his job.
No, I felt shocking. I'm not advocating this behavior. And then anyone who knows that building, ABC Kids used to share the building. And there was a bunch of them out the front, not the kids, but the actual people that worked on it. They're the most loveliest people. But there was a bunch of them smoking out the front, and I turned around and they were all standing there. And I was like,
with a weapon?
Yeah, and I was like, "It's on the server." Because you don't know what to. And it did. It happened directly out the front of the Holocaust. Wow. And I felt absolutely terrible. And the guy never ticketed another car in that street for a long time. I don't advocate it. I was not in the best headspace.
And our final question for the game: whose dad let them get horrible sunburn in Japan when they were a kid because they took them to the beach and just forgot about sunscreen?
Declan.
Yes, Declan.
Okay, it can't be Kelly's by far the most tanned, and I feel would be okay and wouldn't get horrible sunburn. So I'm doing it by both Michael and
you don't get that much time to think.
And Nick. Okay, I'm going to say Nick. Because his dad it did some negligent things in his childhood.
You are incorrect. It was Michael. No.
Which families have enough money?
It was my father, but I will also say that Nick's dad is a horrible person.
Did you get half a point?
I'm going to feel guilty about that later. On the Catholic guilt will kick in. They just used to have a thing in their family where they had a chart. And it was warm fuzzies and cold.
So you're talking
prickly.
About me still, are you? Yeah. Sounds... Oh, the guilt. The guilt must be eating you up.
Yeah. Elaborate on Dick.
What else? I really like Nick's dad. I don't mean negligent. I just mean that
he'd put a switch.
It was not my. It was Jambo's story.
No. Let's dig deeper into Nick's dad. He's getting very agitated. Why are you crying, Nick?
What, Nick? What are you doing? Put that down.
So in Japan, really badly sunburned.
I just went over there to see some my mum's family, and they're the emperor and empress of Japan. And my uncle and dad took like the seven kids, I think, down to the beach, and they just kind of had a few drinks on the beach while their seven children all got fucking the most horrific sunburn of all time. And also my aunt and my mum are both redheads, so we're very adamant about the fact that the sun is evil. It's the worst thing in the world. And so when my dad and uncle came back with these children, it became clear they were very sunburned after a couple of hours. They were a bit like Nick's dad and would beat the shit out of
them. Yeah, I was going to say, did they mention my family?
He's negligent father. Whoa.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Nick on 5 points, Michael on 5 points, Declan on 5 points, and our winner on 7 points.
OMG.
So because you win, amazing. Kelly, you get to plug whatever you want to plug first.
Oh, sick. Comedy Festival, Worst First Dates is live. So if you go to the website, comedyfestival.com.au, buy all four tickets. You only pay for three. So you get the last one free. It's only like $60 for all four live shows. Last one sold out really quickly. It was really fun. Come.
Sweet. Where is it?
We're at Cooper's Inn.
Cool.
You should come do it. I'll let you know. We purposely did not clash with you.
I know, but I think you're clashing with these guys.
Ah.
So no, no, sure. No, I mean, we're not allowed to plug anything because we didn't win, right?
No, you can plug. Go. Sometime now.
Will you remember? No.
Well, all I know is we got a very special guest called Lawyer Something. So
no, we can't even get Lawyer X. We're like Lawyer J. So,
Lawyer J, very funny man.
So call the Banditos, call the Figs. Yeah. You lot want to be there.
Yeah.
Does their last name rhyme with Ghoulies?
No, Nick and I do the Sweetest Plum podcast. We had an episode come out today, actually, which would probably be two days when yours goes up. We are doing a show for the Comedy Festival. It is at the same. It's after Josh's.
So the European Beer Cafe.
Yeah. European Beer Cafe.
What time?
We are directly after Josh.
Sundays at 5:00.
Yeah, and we're on the 31st. So what time are you?
3:00.
So we're at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the cocktail hour. We requested.
So is it just the one show you're doing?
Just the one.
The cocktail hour.
You're not clashing.
Not clashing. It's just cocktails.
There's only one.
The slot was pitched to us as you may get the Josh Earl bump.
You'll get the Don't You Know Who I Am bump.
Yeah. If you are a fan.
And we have heard that Josh Earl will be giving everyone bumps.
The Josh Earl bump is cocaine, so you may also get the audience as well.
That's why it's been so fast.
Real waste of profits, Josh.
If you there we go. If you went to Josh's, you shouldn't pay for two podcasts. If you feel like you haven't had enough podcast listening to podcasts, just come into ours straight after Josh's, and subject to
fire evacuation laws.
Swears Plum, European Beer Cafe, 31st of March. And Michael.
Yeah, we actually got a live show for our pod. Adam Rosenbach and I do the Drunk Time Alpha podcast. So it's football season about a week before it kicks off. It's going to be at the Comics Lounge in North Melbourne. Sunday, March 10 at 4 p.m. You can get tickets at trybooking.com. The guests so far from Front Bar and Nova FM in Melbourne is Sam Pang. And then also joining us, current Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley and former St Kilda coach Grant Thomas. More guests to be announced, but it's going to be sick. And nice. By the way, actually, guys, I don't know if you want to come around, but I'm just going to go and have dinner with Nick's dad if you want to join us.
Yes!
Your rotten apples are on you.
All right. Also, if you are in Melbourne, of course, I'm doing the podcast, Don't You Know Who I Am? I don't know why I say it. You listen to it. Sundays at 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe during the Comedy Festival. And Josh Earl Talks. I did a trial of it last night. It's a good show, guys.
I heard good things.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Really good things.
8:15 at the Vic Hotel. And if you're in Brisbane, I'm doing my show there on March 16. So the podcast followed by the show Josh Earl Talks. Thanks everyone for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Until next time. Bye.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.